All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Jeremiah, chapter 2. Jeremiah, chapter 2. And I want to read a few verses this morning. And then preach primarily from the 13th verse. I know that I've preached from this verse before, but I don't remember what I said. And so I'm going to try it again. Now, I couldn't find the sermon. I looked for it, and I couldn't find it. And I've got about 35 or so notebooks full of sermons. I make sure that everything I preach, I keep it. You know, I print it out and keep it. And so you know, if the day comes that somebody else takes my place here, if it's family member, they got 25 years of sermons. I'm just going to give them to them. But I'm not going to give them to anybody else. But anyway, nice, yeah. You stay out of this. All right, look at verse 5, please. Look at verse 5. I want to show you something here. This is Jeremiah, and he is speaking, or God is speaking through him. And Jeremiah is telling the people of Judah, of Jerusalem and Judah, what the Lord has to say. If you look back at verse 1, you will see, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying." So he is telling us what the Lord has to say. In verse 5, it says it again, "Thus saith the Lord." And so Jeremiah is telling us the message that the Lord is giving him. And what we find here is a rebuke. The Lord is giving a rebuke to the children of Judah, to the children of Israel, and the tribe of Judah and Jerusalem, primarily because they have walked away from the Lord. All right, they have gotten away from God, and judgment was inevitable. Judgment was coming. Now realize that the northern 10 tribes had already been judged. The Assyrians had already come and had wiped their villages and towns out, and had just burned everything that they could set on fire. And now here is God using Jeremiah to warn the people of Jerusalem and the people of Judah that judgment was coming if they did not turn back to the Lord. And so so God asked the question in verse 5. Look at it, please. "What iniquity have your fathers found in me?" In other words, what did I do that made you turn away from me? That's a sobering question, is it not? Let me ask that of each of us. What has God done to any of us that we should not serve Him? You know, folks, God is good. And you know, you say, "Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with." No, but I know who God is. And God is good. And you'll find that to be true if in your trial you will lean upon Him and trust Him. And so, "What iniquity have your fathers found in me that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain?" And now jump down, please, to verse 8. And in verse 8, it says, "The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit." In other words, false teaching, false doctrine. The pastors, the ones who shepherded the people had walked away from the Lord. The prophets had walked away from the Lord. The prophets were not giving the word of the Lord. They were giving false prophecies, false teaching that that was inspired by Baal, by the devil himself. In verse 9, "Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead." All right, now go down, please, to verse 11. It says, "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods?" Has a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? "But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people," now watch this carefully, "for my people have committed two evils. They have, number one, forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, they have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." So they've done two things, two things. First, they have forsaken the good water, the true water, that which will quench thirst and satisfy. All right, the fountains, these are the wells. The wells, all right? You have a well that is constantly producing fresh, clean water. And God says that my people have abandoned those wells, the fresh water. And God is saying He is the refreshing water. He is the nourishing water. Folks, if there's one thing we have to have in order to live, it's water. And God says, by analogy, you folks have abandoned the water, the nourishing water, the water that will sustain you. You have given up on that which will sustain you. And instead, you have built for yourselves cisterns. Now, I'll talk about that more in just a moment. But a cistern is basically, back in Bible times, you folks realize there's rock everywhere in the Middle East. Everywhere you look, you see up in Jerusalem those Palestinian kids and young men, they're grabbing rocks and throwing them at the Israelis. And the reason that they throw rocks is because they're everywhere. All you got to do is bend down and pick one up. They're everywhere you look. And so what they would do is move the dirt a little bit and expose the rock, and then would take chisels and a hammer and would carve out cisterns. And those cisterns would catch the rainwater. It would, they would put plastic up and create dew and then catch the dew. And the whole idea here is that that they had abandoned the fresh water so that they could drink. And we're talking about drinking water here. That's what we're talking about. You know, he's not talking about bathing water. He's not talking about cooking water. He's talking about drinking water. And you have abandoned the true source of good, clean, fresh water for that old stinky stuff that collects in a cistern. You have done away with the good, and you have adopted the bad. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it, folks? All right? Think about that. Kind of sounds like today. All right, let's pray, and then you keep your Bible open here, and I want to show you a few things about the broken cisterns this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray now that you will bless as we open the Scripture. I pray that you will help me as I speak, and I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. And Father, may we be encouraged and strengthened as we start into a new year this coming Friday night. And as the calendar turns and we start into 2021, I just pray that, Father, you'll help us to go into the year with a fresh perspective and a desire to want to drink from the living fountain, to want to drink that water that nourishes and satisfies, and not to want to take second best and go for the cistern and for the water that just collects and sits there stagnant. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to want that living water. So bless us now, Father, we ask. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, some of the best truths that have ever been taught have been learned by the teacher using some kind of an illustration or some kind of a visual picture to illustrate the simple picture, the simple truth that is being taught. And that's exactly what the Lord does in this passage of Scripture, trying to get the people of Jerusalem and of Judah to understand that they need to be close to Him. They need to look to Him for all things and not look to the world or to false religion. They need to look to the true source of living water. And while speaking to the people of Jerusalem about their spiritual condition, the Lord, through the prophet Jeremiah, illustrated the point that he was making so that they could visually understand and make the parallel that he was trying to get them to see. Now, as I read this chapter, I realized that what Jeremiah said about the people of Jerusalem and Judah in this 13th verse could very easily be applied to our society today. You see, this illustration says that the people had rejected the fountain. And they had instead chosen cisterns. And to make it even worse, they had chosen broken cisterns. Now, a broken cistern is not going to hold water. It's going to leak. It's going to allow the water that was collected in it to run out. It's not going to benefit. It's not going to do you a bit of good. And so Jeremiah, the Lord is saying through Jeremiah, which would you rather have? Wouldn't you rather have a cool, refreshing drink of clean water instead of going over to that old broken cistern and that you've been relying on? Instead of going over and looking at it and realizing what water is in there is not good. I mean, which would you rather have? It was kind of an obvious thing. Now, it's not so direct to us, because when we want a drink, we just go over to the refrigerator and hit the little thing. You can either get ice or water out of it, or we go to the spigot and we turn the spigot on, or we go to the refrigerator and get a bottle of water. We know that that's supposed to be clean. Who knows what's in it, but it's supposed to be clean. And for us, clean water is not an issue. That is one of the blessed things about living in the United States of America. You can find clean water just about everywhere you go. And so back in Bible times, it was not quite that easy. If you did not have access to running water, then you had to collect water as it would run off from a rainstorm, or where you would create some environment where dew or moisture was formed, and then catch it that way. And so so they depended back 2,600 years ago when this was a relevant case. They depended upon the cisterns, the buckets, the barrels. They depended upon ways to collect water, and often this was the only source that some folks had. Now, when you collected water like that, you had to boil the water. Okay? You had to boil it. Why? Because cistern water is not clean. It is not clean. It's not living water. It's not living means the idea of moving. All right? And it's not living. It's run off and collected, and it just sits there and often stagnates there. And you got all these little gooey things floating around in there. You don't know what you're going to be drinking. And so you had to boil the water in order to drink it. Now, their other alternative was to dig a well. And that's what the Lord calls here fountains. The fountains are the waters that came out of the ground. They were, it was like a spring. It was like a well that had been dug. And it was constantly refreshing itself with clean water. And the fountains were pure. The fountains were fresh. The fountains were living water. And Jeremiah, through using the cisterns on one side and the fountains on the other side, says that, and it doesn't make sense when you think about it, folks, but nonetheless, it's been going on since Adam. The Lord says that men choose those old nasty cisterns instead of the fountains where the water is good. Men choose the water out of the cistern and reject the water out of the fountains. And listen, it even gets worse. If a cistern is broken, then it won't hold water. So it's actually good for nothing. So God's point is, why would you choose a cistern when it's broken and it doesn't hold water anyway? You know, it's almost like, you know, what is wrong with you that you would do something like that? Now, folks, here's the bottom line. Here is the bottom line. The bottom line comes down to the choices we make. Now, you think about that. The bottom line comes down to the choices we make. Jeremiah said, you have the opportunity to make the right choice and to choose living, fresh water. Or you can choose to drink from that nasty old cistern. You don't know what kind of little squiggly critters are in that water, but that's your choice. If you want to go over there and drink out of that cistern, you can do that. If you drink it, you just might get as sick as you could possibly get, but that is your choice. You can go drink it if you wish. And the sad thing is, you know, you are taking a risk by drinking from the cistern, but still, folks make the choice to drink from it anyway. Before we get to the main body of the message, let me give you just one little Bible example so that you can correlate what I'm saying in this matter of choices. Do you remember when Pilate was interviewing the Lord Jesus, and he stood the Lord before the people, and he asked them to make a choice? He said, which one of these should I crucify? Jesus of Nazareth, or Barabbas? Now, folks, listen. Every one of those people knew and knew well both of those choices. They all knew Barabbas. Everybody knew Barabbas. He was a freedom fighter. He was trying to liberate the Jews from Rome's control. And they all knew him. Probably everybody in there looked up to Barabbas, even though he was a thief and a murderer. But they all looked up to him. He was fighting their cause. They didn't have enough courage to do it, but Barabbas did, and they made a hero out of Barabbas. But they all knew what he was like. Are you listening to me? They all knew what he was like. And so, but they also knew Jesus, and they knew what he was like. They had said of Jesus, man, this guy's amazing. This guy does miracles. This guy helps people. This guy feeds people. Why, he's amazing. And yet, those were the choices right there. Now, common sense would tell you that if you had a choice between Jesus or Barabbas, you would choose Jesus, would you not? But what did the people do? They chose Barabbas. They said, give us Barabbas. Pilate said, well, what about Jesus? What do I do with him? And they said, crucify Jesus. Release unto us Barabbas. And folks, that is exactly what so many people do with the choices that they have to serve God or to serve the world. God says, which are you going to do? Are you going to serve me or are you going to serve the world? Are you going to live for me or are you going to live for the world? And yet, so sadly, many people choose the wrong fountain, so to speak. They choose, instead of the fountain of living water, which is the Lord, they instead choose the cistern. Now, let's look, please, at verse 13, and let me show you three characteristics of the cistern. Let me show you three things about the cistern. Let me point them out to you. Number one, I want us to consider the flavor of the cistern. I remember years ago, my grandfather had a well, and he had this little house over top of it. In the summertime, when you went into that well house, you had to look. You had to look. You had to make sure before you went in, because the biggest black snakes in West Virginia would crawl into my grandfather's well house. I don't know what it was about that well house. I guess the mice, I don't know. But those black snakes would go in there and they'd get up in the, lay up in the rafters of that thing, and you'd walk in and be pulling that bucket up out of that well and get ready to dip that dipper down in, get you a cool drink of water, and then you start looking around and there's a black snake hanging its head over the rafters looking at you. Oh my goodness, you talk about getting out of that well house. I don't know how many times that happened to me through the years. And my grandfather we'd work, and he was perpetual motion. He always doing something, always working. And so if we were there with him, we always had to be working alongside him. And so we would be doing something like hoeing the corn or picking green beans or something. And he'd say, well, let's just all go to the well house and get a drink. Now, if you went to the well house, you were getting it right out of the source. And when you pulled that bucket up, that water was so cold. It was about 30 feet below the ground level. And you would drop that old bucket down, and then you would pull the rope and get the thing to flip, and then drop it down in the water, and it would fill up. And then you pull it up, and then you tied it off, and you took the water. And he would take that old scooper that he had, and a dipper, and he would dip it down and hand it to my little brother first. My little brother would take a drink, and then you'd hear him go, ah. And then he would dip it down in and hand it to me, and I would turn it around and drink from the other side. And then I'd go, ah. And then my grandfather would dip it down in there again, and he'd take another drink, and then he'd get him another, and then he'd pass it around, and we would sit there and drink ourselves full of that cool, refreshing water. Now, my grandfather also had rain buckets, rain barrels, at the end of each side of the house. And he had an old gutter that he had picked up somewhere in a junkyard probably, because they did not match, the front didn't match the back. So I know they weren't, put on professionally. And you could look at them and sometimes see the nails sticking out. But he would put that guttering up and tilt it towards one end of the house. And when it rained, it would collect water in that barrel. And we never used that barrel water to drink from. Never did we use it to drink from. Now, in the summertime, that water would get warm. It would get hot sitting there in the sun. And sometimes we lived so far back up in the sticks, folks. Now, you got to realize my grandfather's house was miles from civilization. We had no phone. We had no electricity for the longest time. I remember when we got electricity up there. And I've told you that story. My grandfather had one 15-inch, I think it was, television, black and white television set down at Ned Bowles Hardware Store in a raffle. And so it sat in the corner, and we used it sometimes for a table to play games on, but it sat in the corner for the longest time. And then the power company came up, knocked on the door one day, and said, "We're bringing the electric up the holler. Would you like to connect?" And so the conversation around the dinner table that evening was, well, do we connect or don't we connect? And my grandfather said, you know, if we connected, we could probably watch that television set we got in there. So we decided to connect. And so my dad put a box in, and they came and hooked the wires up and got it all going. And we plugged the TV in and got nothing but snow on the picture. We were so far up in the boonies, you could not get a channel, not one. And so they said, well, maybe if you put an antenna out. So we put an antenna out, and you had to stand out there and turn that antenna in order to get a picture. And you say, there it is, stop. Well, listen, in the wintertime, you did not want to go out there in snow up to your knees and start twisting and turning on that thing. And then come back in, and before you could get in the house, the wind had blown it, and you lost your picture anyway. All right? So it was awful. I mean, just awful. But that cistern, in the summertime, we would take the water out of it and put it in a big old wash tub, and on Saturdays, and we'd take a bath in that water. Now, you didn't drink that water, but you could take a bath in that water as long as it hadn't sat there very long. All right, you didn't want it sitting there very long. But you never know what you're going to find if it sat there long enough. All kinds of little bugs in that. All right, but that's the difference. Now, folks, ask yourself this question. If you had your choice to drink from that cool, refreshing water in the well or that stagnant water in the rain barrel in the cistern, which would you choose? You would choose the well water anytime, wouldn't you? But yet, spiritually speaking, God says that instead of drinking this cool, refreshing, good living water, in other words, instead of walking with God, men choose to go over here and take a straw and stick it down in that cistern and drink that old nasty, bitter water that has been collecting and storing there in that cistern. And God's point is, it doesn't make sense that you would want to do that. And that was God's point. You see, folks, We choose which one we want to drink from. We choose. And when you think about it, it just simply does not make a bit of sense to choose the water from the cistern, that stale water, that nasty water, when you could drink from the crisp, clear, cold, clean water from the well. And yet, this is exactly what folks have been doing since Adam first sinned in the Garden of Eden. Folks, just look at Cain, for example. He chose the cistern instead of the fountain. The Lord told him if he would just do right, that his offering would be accepted. But he didn't want to do right. He thought that the work of his own hands was enough. He didn't want to listen to God. In other words, he didn't want to drink from the fountain. He wanted to drink from the cistern. And God said, Cain, all you got to do is make the right decision here. All you got to do is the right thing. But instead, he chose the brackish old cistern. And then his testimony was, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And it always is, folks. When you choose the cistern, it's always greater than you can bear. I have been sick a couple of times overseas. And I know one time, I know when I was in India, we went to a restaurant to eat. And after church, and I ordered the meal, and then I said, I will take a Coke. And I said, I'll take a Coke. Well, they brought me a Coke, and it had ice in it. And I looked at that ice, and I thought, I probably should not drink that. I probably ought to send that back and just say, hey, I want one without ice, please. I'll pay for this one, but just give me one without ice. But I didn't do that. I said, nah, I can handle this. And about 12 o'clock that night, I was praying to die. I mean literally on my knees at the commode, praying to die. On my knees, throwing up. You see, folks, you don't want to drink from the cistern. It's bad. And it's always bad. And then one time we went to the Philippines. And I sat there and I looked at that drink that they brought me. And it had ice in it. And I picked it up. And then my mind flashed back to India. And I put that thing down. And I said, can I get a bottle of water, please? And they brought me a bottle of water. And when I popped the top on that thing, I smiled. I said, it hadn't been opened. Good. Good. And then I drank that, and I was fine. But had I had that Coke with that ice in it, I'd have been sick again. You know, some folks never learn. But thank God I learned. But after the lesson I was taught, you bet your boots I learned. And you know, there's a lot of folks, they get burned by the cistern. They get burned by the world. They drink from the cistern and they realize, whoa, the flavor here, something's wrong. And they soon find out that the cistern is not what it's cracked up to be. Folks, we got to be careful. I mean, why would you drink from the cistern when you have the fountain that is totally satisfying? I promise you, folks, the water that comes from the well is cold, it's clear, it's so refreshing. But the water in the cisterns, well, it's not good. It's warm, it's dark. You don't want to drink that. It's going to make you sick if you do. The water from the well, oh, it's refreshing. But yet, Jeremiah says, some folks choose the water from the cistern instead of the water from the fountain. And if you do, it is ultimately going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. The flavor of the cistern. You don't want it, folks. You don't want the world. Then secondly, I want us to consider the filthiness of the cistern. The filthiness. You know, often in Bible times, the cistern would be hewn out of the bedrock. And someone would just dig away the dirt from the rock. It just lays in those Judean hills. It just lays right under the soil. And they would dig away the dirt and then take a chisel and a hammer, and they would go in and chip out a cistern. And the cistern water is always filthy water. It's outside. It's collected from the rain. It sometimes just runs off the hillside and collects in that cistern. And they were often in Bible times, the cistern was exposed and the water would be contaminated as it would run into the cistern. But as it sat there then in the cistern, it would sit in the sun and it would breed all kinds of germs and all kinds of bacteria would gather. And this water was certainly not good to drink. You would not dare drink cistern water back in Bible times. As a matter of fact, if you were to drink it, it would make you sick nigh unto death. And those people knew it. I mean, it made them sick. They knew not to drink cistern water. Cistern water may look good. It may appear okay. But the truth is, cistern water is full of germs. And it is going to make whoever drinks it sick. I'm saying, folks, that cistern water is filthy water. But well water, the fountain, well, that's completely a different story. Remember, the well water is cold and fresh and crisp and pure and satisfying. It will quench your thirst. And that living water is always wholesome and healthy. Now, folks, don't miss the picture that is in this. The cistern water is a picture of the filth of this world of sin. And that's what this world of sin offers, folks, filthiness. Filthiness. But the fountain is a picture of the way of pureness, the way of holiness. In other words, the way of the Lord. Why do folks want to choose the way of the world, the way of the flesh, the way that will only leave you with the stain of the world and the filth of the world upon you? But God said through Jeremiah in another passage, he said that the people make the wrong choices. And right here, they're making the wrong choices. He says it again. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountains of the living waters, and they have hewn them out cisterns. Those old filthy cisterns, as opposed to the living wells. To me, there's not even a choice. I mean, choosing to be as the world will leave you with the filth of the world all over you. But choosing living water will keep your soul constantly refreshed. You look around our world today and you see these folks that you can just look at them and see the world all over them. You see it in their faces. You see it in their tattoos. You see it in their piercings. I mean, they've got their eyebrows and their lips and their nose and their ears and their tongues and who knows what else pierced. And that is nothing more than branding yourself to announce on whose team you belong. That's nothing more than you advertising whose side you're on, the world's or the Lord's. And what it shows is that you have chosen the world over God. We had years ago, had a camp connected to our church down in South Carolina when I was the youth pastor down there. And we had every year this fellowship of churches that would send their kids, and all the pastors would come, and the youth pastors would come on Friday afternoon, and we would close out with a great big service on Friday night and a great big dinner on Friday night. But then on Friday afternoon, we would have the pastors going against the all-stars of the camp in a softball game. And we went out and got ready to play. And I looked over on the bench, and there was one of the pastors over there, fella I knew well. I had preached in his church, great guy, great man, great church. And he's sitting over there with a long sleeve, dark blue shirt on. I mean, it's 92 degrees. And he's sitting over there with a long sleeve shirt on, buttoned up to here. And I looked over at the pastor that I worked for, and I said, "Why is he sitting over there in a long sleeve shirt?" And he said, "Well, he was in the Navy." And, the thing on his ship was whenever they hit port, you go in and get a tattoo. And he said he is tattooed from his collarbone all the way down to the tops of his feet. He is tattooed everywhere. And he doesn't want any of his church people to see it. I said, "Oh." So he sat out there and suffered in that heat and played softball. And when the game was over, he came over to the cooler, grabbed two bottles of water, drank one, poured the other over his head as he was drinking the one. And he looked at me, and I smiled, and I said, "Hot, isn't it?" He said, "Young man, don't you ever get all tattooed up. You hear me?" I said, "Yes, sir, I won't." He said, "No, I'm telling you, don't you ever." "Yes, sir." You see, he regretted it. When he decided whose team he was on, he had already made a commitment earlier. And now he was regretting his decision. But you see, folks, that's what the world will do. You see, the devil is, I mean, he's content to have you, but he would love to brand you. You know, he'd like to put his label on you. So you just realize that when the devil starts tempting you. Then thirdly, I want you to notice or to consider the failure of the cistern. Look again at the last little bit. It says, "And hewed them," verse 13, "and hewed them out cisterns," broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, that's the strange thing, isn't it? I mean, it's bad enough that we would choose that old nasty cistern water over the well. We would choose the world over walking with God. But then God says, you know, those cisterns that you're choosing, here's why it really doesn't make sense to me. Not only is the water in there nasty, not only is the water in there bad to the taste, but the water that is in there runs out because the cistern is broken. It cannot hold anything to help you or to sustain you. So it's bad enough that you choose this, but wait a minute, there's not even any water in there now. Why would you choose a cistern when it doesn't even have water in it? You're going to thirst to death. And God says it just doesn't make sense to me. You see, folks, the truth is cisterns do not do a good job of holding water, especially a broken cistern. I mean, it may just pour the rain and fill that cistern to the brim, but if your cistern is broken, all of the water is going to leak out, so it doesn't do you a bit of good. Not a bit of good. And when you have a rain barrel and you got it set at the edge of the house where the water would run into it and fill it up, listen, you go over there and that thing's empty, what's wrong? Well, it's got a leak in it somewhere. It won't hold water, so it doesn't do you a bit of good. And folks, this failure is a picture of the lack of satisfaction that the world offers, that is found in the world. The world, listen to me, the world is never going to satisfy. It cannot. It does not have the ability to satisfy. By its very nature, it will not satisfy. John said the world is passing away. So it can't satisfy, it can't help you out. Remember, James said there is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. It's not going to last. The whole thing about sin is that it never satisfies. You always have to go back for more. And then when your health is ruined, and when your home is ruined, and when your job is ruined, and when your life is ruined, you finally say, okay, I chose the world and the flesh over the Lord Jesus, and now I want to change and I want to give myself to the Lord Jesus. And that's when you find out you got a problem, because you go to turn the world loose and you find out the problem is the world does not want to turn you loose. I'm going to get killed. I'm going to get shot for this, but you all know my son Joshua is a coffee nut. That boy, I tell him all the time, Josh, you got to quit drinking all that coffee. You've got to stop drinking that coffee. Well, when you go to the hospital, they don't give you coffee. Not caffeinated coffee anyway. And so, how you doing yesterday? How you doing? I need coffee. I could hear him saying it. I texted him this morning. Hey, bud, how you doing? I need coffee. I want coffee. You see, even when you want to give it up, it doesn't want to give you up. And you're saying sin, coffee is sin. I'm saying excess coffee is sin. Yes, indeed. You ought not be doing that. Excess anything will mess you up. Excess anything will mess you up. Now, remember, the cistern, it won't hold water. You see, folks, the pleasure of sin, that's a short season. That's a short season. I mean, James said it's for a season. But understand this, folks, that season is short. And then when the pleasure of sin is gone, when it doesn't stimulate anymore, you say, okay, enough. Look at what this has done to me. I want to give this up. And you want to, sincerely. But the problem is, it doesn't want to give you up. And that's where the struggles come in. And that's when folks come and they say, Pastor, can you help me? That's when they go to the reformers and say, Pastor Rick, can you help me? I can't seem to get the victory here. I can't win on this. Well, let me tell you, you can win. But you've got to fight the battle to win. I mean, the devil's not just going to roll over and say, okay, you win. No. You got to fight. And it's a battle, let me tell you. We deal with it all the time here. I deal with it all the time here. Folks coming in, Pastor, can you help me? Can you help me? And folks, cistern water is not going to give anyone what water from a well will give you. The cistern can never, never, ever satisfy. But Jesus will always be satisfying to the soul of man. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, we see that David understood this truth when David said, "At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." But you got to be at God's right hand. Those pleasures are the peace that passes understanding. Those pleasures are that you lay your head down at night and you know that you're going to heaven should something happen to you. That pleasure is that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Folks, our Savior satisfies the soul unlike anything else. Now, folks, as we start 2021, let's purpose to daily drink from the fountain. Let's just make up our mind. We're gonna quit going and drinking out of that old broken cistern. That water that's left in that thing is stagnant. It's got bugs in it. You don't want to drink that. You don't want to drink that. I mean, you just make up your mind, I want to drink from the fountain. I want to drink from the well that never runs dry. We have chosen the nasty flavor of the world and the filthiness of the old cistern water, and we have learned the things of the world give us nothing but failure at every single turn. And you think after all that we've experienced with this matter that we would now realize, hey, I'm going to drink from the fountain. And let's do that in this next coming year. Let's seek to know more about the Lord Jesus. Let's seek to drink from that fountain and grow as a Christian and be refreshed and be satisfied in our soul, because folks, the broken cisterns of this world can never and will never satisfy. Wake up each day and get alone with the Lord and read His Word and fellowship with Him and drink from that fountain of the water of life that freely flows from His grace. Let's pray together, please. Our Father, we thank You so much for Your blessed Word. And I pray You'll speak to our hearts today. I pray the Holy Spirit will work in our lives and convict us and help us to see this little picture that You presented to the people of Jerusalem 2,600 years ago. Father, You gave this picture to them so sad that they made the wrong choice. And finally, the day came when the Babylonians knocked the walls down and came inside, killed and murdered and executed and ravaged the city, took away over 10,000 of the young people. Father, I pray now that You will help us to realize that there is nothing good out of that cistern. And I pray You'll speak to hearts this morning, draw us closer to You. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you will say this morning, Pastor, I'm tired of the cistern. I'm tired of drinking from that old nasty cistern. And I think it's time that I start drinking from the fountain. And God's speaking to my heart about that this morning. I need to make the right choices, Pastor. I need to make the right decisions. And I want you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you and ask God to help you this morning? Would you just lift your hand and hold it up? Yes, God bless you, folks. Thank you so much. Good. Good. Upstairs, thank you so much. Thank you. May put your hands down. God bless you, folks. Thank you. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. All right, Father, you know our hearts now, and I pray that you'll bless these folks who raise their hands. We need to realize the importance of drinking from the fountain. Father, just getting alone with you in the Word, growing and getting that refreshing satisfaction of knowing that we are right with you. So, Father, speak to hearts. I pray you'll bless these folks who have raised their hands this morning. Give us your richest blessings now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.